You're listening to China Africa Talk.
Jambo, ni Bridget akikuletea kipindi kinachohusiana na China na Afrika.
Vous écoutez le dialogue sino-africain avec Bridget.
Everything China, everything Africa.
Olá, você está ouvindo China Africa Talk com Bridget.
سيدتي وسادتي مرحبا بكم في الحوار الصيني العربي مع بريتشيت.
This year marks the 45th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic ties between China and Zimbabwe, a significant milestone in their enduring friendship. In an exclusive interview with China Africa Talk, Zimbabwe's ambassador to China, Abigail Shoniwa, highlights the solid foundation and continued strength of China-Zimbabwe relations.
It's like a tree. A tree with strong roots can withstand the storms. That's how I characterize our relationship with China. It's grown stronger.
Ambassador Shoniwa notes that the enduring friendship between the two sides has delivered tangible results for Zimbabwe's social and economic development.
The early 2000s to now, it's been characterized by support and collaboration for economic development. It's an evolution, and with these projects, we are really looking forward to our Vision 2030. We are driving towards that.
Arriving in Beijing last August, Shoniwa outlines her key priorities during her tenure.
I would like to see more investments, more investors from China to Zimbabwe who will enhance productivity, value addition of products, and increase exports of goods from Zimbabwe to China. We are looking forward to a boost in tourism in the education sector.
I visited the embassy of Zimbabwe in China and sat down with Ambassador Abigail Shoniwa to get more of her insights on the evolving Zimbabwe-China ties. Ambassador Shoniwa, thank you for joining us today on China Africa Talk.
Thank you so much, Bridget. It's really a pleasure.
Ambassador, this year marks the 45th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Zimbabwe and China. How would you characterize the Zimbabwe-China friendship and the evolution of this relationship?
Thank you so much. You've come at the right time. Zimbabwe and China have enjoyed a very good relationship, strong, solid foundation in their relationship, which stretches back many years ago to pre-independence times. It's been a journey, and that relationship has grown stronger and stronger. Coming to the evolution, I see the evolution of the relationship, I'll put it in three phases. The first phase would be the pre-independence time. So you're looking around 1960 to 1980 when we got independence. The second phase, then of course, it will be post-independence, but post-independence to a period perhaps up to the early 2000s. Then the next phase is this, what I call the third phase. So you're looking at early 2000 to now. So if I can just quickly run through the phases as I see them. The pre-independence phase, China was there with us in giving capacity, training our liberation war fighters. They were there to give us material support. When many countries were looking, so it's a friendship that is really anchored on that our freedom is partly to do with the support that we got from France. And China did a lot to support our people, our freedom fighters, materially and otherwise. And that support continues to today. It was the root. It's like a tree or a plant. A tree with strong roots can withstand the storms. Right. That's how I characterize our relationship with China. It's grown stronger. And the next phase then was post-independence. Post-independence, when we got independent in 1980, China was among the very first countries in 1980, 18 April, that established diplomatic relations with Zimbabwe. They were there with us for the journey. We got independent, and there they were again for that relationship. And from 1980 to the early 2000s, there was a consolidation of the political relationship. They supported us. They sent medical brigades to Zimbabwe. There were a number of projects that were also undertaken, our hospitals and medical brigades to support us, and many other areas of support that we received. So I'd characterize that as a period where our political relationships were consolidated following our independence. Then the early 2000s to now, it's been characterized by support and collaboration for economic development. We've seen a lot of participation by Chinese companies, Chinese government support through their institutions, supporting big projects, infrastructure projects that are legacy projects, really, that will stand for a long time. You know, you're looking at airports, you're looking at power generation projects, you're looking at road infrastructure. Right now, there are projects that are being implemented in industrial parks, etc. So it's an evolution, and with these projects, we are really looking forward to our vision 2030. We are driving towards that, so we are quite excited about that. So that's how I would characterize the three phases of the evolution of our relations with China.
So in what areas would you like to see deeper collaboration between the two sides?
The areas that we see and that will be targeted for deeper cooperation were really set when His Excellency the President Idi Mnangagwa came for a state visit to China last year in September. And during that state visit, we had 17 agreements signed in various sectors. So for us as an embassy, but you know, as a country, the stage is set. We have been given homework on the areas that we need to follow through. So Zimbabwe is looking forward to working closely to grow this cooperation in the various areas that, you know, where we have agreements. This is besides other projects that are ongoing, but we have that menu of agreements that our two heads of states signed, they witnessed them. So we are looking forward to implementing those for a transformational development of our economy. As we, again, I know I want to mention that we do have our vision 2030, where we are looking at Zimbabwe being a mid-income economy country. So we are focusing on those areas. In fact, amongst the projects that were signed, there is a lot of focus on value addition. You know, Zimbabwe is an agro-based country, but we do have other areas where we do have resources which need to be developed, where we need to add value. Over the years, there's been a lot of exports, you know, whether it's agricultural products, whether it's minerals, and any other produce, but we've exported raw materials. And now we are saying we would want to add value so that when we export, we can get value to help, you know, the development of our country. And I, again, coming to agriculture, perhaps, we are looking for partners, for investments that enable us to increase capacity to produce, to value add, but also even to export. If we were to get partners here in China who can come and work with their Zimbabwean counterparts on the fields, grow various commodities for export, they can be exported as the commodities, but we also want to produce, add value, and export the value-added products. We need capacity to increase the output.
Specifically, when it comes to emerging sectors, such as digital economy and green development, what opportunities exist between Zimbabwe and China in these areas?
Indeed, there are some areas, yes, there is some cooperation that is going on in those areas that you have mentioned. We have companies like Huawei, we have ZTE. They are working with their partners in Zimbabwe where they've developed data centers, and others are involved in assembling of computers, laptops and telephones, but also on the issues of digital technology, working with our ministries, our hospitals, etc. However, while as that is happening, I think there's still a lot more. Being in China, you see that they've gone so far ahead. So we are very, I'll put it as hungry, for cooperation that will enable us, you know, in the various sectors. We know that digital technologies can be used in agriculture, it can be used in health, it can be used in our factories and many other sectors. We are behind on AI, if I can put it as such. We have a lot to learn from China, and that learning can be done through our cooperation, through investment from Chinese companies that are in those areas. I've just mentioned two companies, but we are looking forward to having more.
Now, the world is undergoing profound transformation. In your opinion, how can countries of the global south, including Zimbabwe and China, work together to deal with uncertainties and challenges?
Wow, yeah. The world is currently faced with some serious challenges, which, if not managed well, it can really turn things upside down. Right now, we are looking at the issue of tariffs and the protective nature, you know, in trade. There has been a serious disruption. There is protectionism, etc. So for countries like Zimbabwe and other like-minded countries, or perhaps, you know, in the global south, we look forward to big economies like China, for the leadership to rally around, you know, all of us to see if we can deal with this unknown that we are facing, this disruption. A lot of our countries could really suffer serious consequences if we do not, you know, find a solution. The multilateralism is under attack, and it is our hope that, you know, we get the you know, rallying around and the leadership of economies of big countries like China to make sure that, you know, things do not fall apart.
Abigail Shaniwa is Zimbabwe's first female ambassador to China.
It's a humbling experience to be requested to represent your country. I don't take it for granted.
She also shares her views on the growing role and impact of women in national governance and international diplomacy.
As women in the world, we have shown that, you know, women are as equal to the task as men. And we have been given opportunities, but I believe more can be done.
Wondered what's actually going on in Africa through the perspective of an African? How are things really going between China and Africa? What's the narrative of this relationship? Well, get a perspective with China-Africa Talk. Hear from African diplomats, entrepreneurs, academics, Chinese natives, and more. Get on our wavelength every week to find out what's real with China-Africa Talk. Find us on your favorite podcast. We'll see you there. We're seeing more women take leadership roles in governance. You are Zimbabwe's first female ambassador to China. What has your experience been like as a female ambassador, and what are some of the advantages and challenges? And could you share a bit about your personal journey and what has shaped you along the way?
Thank you so much. I must express gratitude to my president for the deployment to represent him at this station, to represent my country. It's always a humbling experience to be requested to represent your country. So I really do appreciate. And another thing perhaps that I would want to say is I don't take it for granted being here, being the first female ambassador. Exciting, yes, but I don't take it for granted. You know, we always look up to other women. And I did the same growing up. Perhaps also now coming back to my history. After college, I've been a civil servant through and through. I started from college, you know, I joined the civil service. I served in the civil service.
So you understand the civil sector.
I do. And I'm grateful. I moved up the ranks. And before I got deployed as ambassador, I was permanent secretary in the Ministry of Industry and Commerce. I think I was also the first. Yes, permanent secretary for industry and commerce since, you know, independence. And it's been a privilege. Challenges, I must admit that what I've received is support. I've not had a challenge, you know, during my work because I'm in a certain position and being a woman. What I know is, what I've done is, you know, as you rise and as a woman, you tend to work much harder because you want to prove that you can do it.
Everybody's watching you.
Yes, you need to balance family, you need to balance also. But you also need to try and do your best to perform. So I don't recall challenges. What I recall is support. I've received support from both male and female. I've had support from colleagues, ladies, encouraging, you know, cheering me on. So I'm grateful for the support that I received. Even when I got here, the phone calls that I got, you know, for support from colleagues or when I was at home. So all I've received is really support. And I would want to say once again that I'm so grateful for the opportunity to serve my country.
When you mention support, it just gives an idea about your leadership as well, because if you're able to coordinate everyone to support you, that's a strong leadership quality as I see it.
Well, thank you for that. I hope I have some qualities for leadership. Yeah, I've received a lot of support. Okay. Yeah, from colleagues and even my subordinates, I mustn't forget. I've received a lot of support from my subordinates coming through, you know, not just here at the embassy or at embassies, but coming through, I've received a lot of support.
And how do you view the growing role and impact of women in national governance and international diplomacy when we look at the broader spectrum?
Well, you know, as women in the world, we have shown that, you know, women are as equal to the task as men. And we have been given opportunities, but I believe more can be done, because I think I don't have the actual statistics. I think we still find less women in leadership roles. And I'm talking about the world, the whole world. Perhaps I can say, you know, even in our region, perhaps I can come down to our region. So I think that cry is still there, that we need more women in leadership roles, whether it's in boards of companies or heads of companies, in government, in international organizations. So I think it's important.
Still on that one, we have another female icon from Zimbabwe, Kirsty Coventry. She's made history as the first woman and first African to lead the International Olympic Committee. What does her achievement mean for Zimbabwe, for Africa, and for women around the world? When I heard it, it gave me a lot of inspiration. What are your views?
Well, it's a sign that it can be done. And Zimbabwe was rooting, you know, for her. And we know her history, what she has done. She was a government minister, and you know, the support was there for her to get there. So I think it's a sign that, you know, it is possible, it can be done. Not only is she a first woman to do it, first African, she's a young woman, I would say. And there she is, it's possible. So I think with the necessary support, it can be done. Support is key, and as Zimbabwe, we are very excited. You know, she's done us proud, she's done Africa proud, she's done us women proud.
Later this year, China will host the Global Leaders Meeting on Gender Equality and Women's Empowerment in Beijing, marking the anniversary of the 1995 World Conference on Women in Beijing. What are your expectations for this event?
Well, thank you so much. We've heard about this anniversary, I would call it, anniversary coming. I think it will be a time for reflection. You know, I've just been commenting that perhaps more needs to be done for women. I think that conference would probably be taking stock of where are we all these years later. What have we done? What have we not done? And what can be done? So I think it's a great moment for taking stock of what has been achieved, of the objectives perhaps, or resolutions set out, and then for the next 50 years.
And what have you observed on China's development during your tenure? Can you share one or two stories? Maybe some personal stories as well?
It will be too many stories.
Okay.
The pace of development that you observe, you know, when you're in this country is just amazing. I am privileged, or I had the opportunity of serving here at this embassy as an officer in early 2000, 2006 to 2009. And I'm coming back here 15 years later. And what you see and what was then is just amazing. There's so much change. So it becomes very difficult for me to just isolate one item. But perhaps it's the technology.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the pace of technology and the use of AI, it's just, I have no way to describe it. It's outstanding. And how it is being used to make life easy and how it is being disseminated, even old people or to rural communities, it's amazing. Yeah, one other observation. I've traveled a bit in the provinces by train, by air, but more by train. The country is green. The way trees have been planted, even in towns, no? But also food, irrigation. So many irrigation schemes, you know, around, and people are busy. So it's quite exciting. There's a lot to learn. So we're really looking forward to cooperating with China, but also looking forward to more investors coming to Zimbabwe and invest in the various areas that I've mentioned. And we are also very curious in learning their technologies, sharing those, and see how far we go.
And some of your key priorities as Zimbabwe's ambassador to China, what would you like to accomplish during your term?
In brief, I would like to see more investments, more investors from China to Zimbabwe who will enhance productivity, value addition of products, and increase exports of goods from Zimbabwe to China. We're looking forward to increased exports. The other issue is we're looking forward to tourism, a boost in tourism. Zimbabwe has wonderful destinations for tourism, wonderful heritage, culture, etc., and wonderful people. So we're looking forward to increase in tourism. Also in tourism, we're looking forward to investors in tourism infrastructure. There is beautiful and a variety of tourism infrastructure in this country. Hotels, conference centers, etc. So I'm looking forward to that, that by the end of my term, we would have seen investors going, would have seen tourism figures rising. There's also a lot of cooperation, cultural cooperation in the various sectors, but I would want to mention education, in the education sector. We are looking forward to increased cooperation in the cultural sector, in the education sector, etc., so that our people, our students, they can get, you know, capacitation, not just students, you know, even those that are working, to come and refresh or, you know, learn new things here. So yes, you know, those are some of the areas that I'm looking forward to. And of course, technology. The list is getting longer now. The list is getting longer.
We trust that you'll execute everything.
We'll try. We'll try our best. You know, we are receiving a lot of support. We've been engaging a number of companies, a number of provincial authorities. So we'll do our best.
Ambassador Shonira, thank you so much for your time. And that brings us to the end of our discussion.
Thank you so much, Bridget. It's been a pleasure.
Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa paid a state visit to China in 2024. During his visit, China and Zimbabwe signed 17 agreements aimed at deepening cooperation in key sectors such as investment, trade, infrastructure, mineral resources, renewable energy, and digital technology. Reports indicate that Chinese investments in Zimbabwe increased from $445 million in 2019 to $3.4 billion in 2023. Cultural exchanges have also flourished with a range of initiatives designed to foster mutual understanding. These exchanges continue to bring Zimbabwe and China closer, reinforcing a relationship rooted in trust, development, and shared aspirations.
Listeners, you can subscribe to our online newsletter on CGTN or Substack to get more insights on China-Africa relations. Just search China-Africa Talk. For now, it's goodbye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post it on social media or leave a rating and review. Thanks again. See you next time.